Right now, warmer weather means we have the chance to enjoy our many lakes and rivers, but it can also bring toxic blooms of cyanobacteria, also known as blue-green algae. In Green Bay, city officials and local researchers have been tracking the size and timing of blooms in the bay, and now they're getting a new partner to help them out, NASA. This year, Green Bay accepted the agency's invitation to join an international water monitoring effort, becoming one of just three freshwater sites in the U.S. included in that program. Kevin Firmanick is a professor of geoscience and environmental science at UW-Green Bay, where he researches groundwater quality and watershed monitoring. Kevin, welcome to Central Time.
Yes, it's my pleasure.
Well, now Green Bay's wastewater utility is joining up with NASA as part of this big monitoring program for algae in the Great Lakes. We'll talk about that algae. I'll put quotes around it for now. But how is this going to work? How is the local government teaming up with the space agency?
Yeah, well, NASA scientists use satellites to study, you know, the Earth's atmosphere and the surface of the entire globe, really. And one of the major applications is to understand water quality of oceans and freshwater systems like Green Bay. So one of the primary partners working with NASA is the Green Bay Metropolitan Sewage District, or New Water. And they've been sort of a leader in monitoring water quality of Lower Bay and Fox River for over 30 years. So NASA is interested in partnering with them to gain some of the ground truth information about the water quality so that when they use their satellites, they can have a better understanding of how accurate they are and do a better job of predicting what the water quality would be.
Let's talk about what we're monitoring here. It's what a lot of us call blue-green algae, actually more technically cyanobacteria. Do I have that right?
Right, that's correct. Yeah, so cyanobacteria basically are microorganisms that grow out in the water, and they often are triggered by excess nutrients that get in the water, such as phosphorus or nitrogen. And when they bloom, they sometimes can produce harmful toxins that are harmful to humans as well as pets and potentially other wildlife.
And when these bacteria die, they can take whole areas out with them in some ways. That they're partly responsible for what we call dead zones.
Well, right. Just basically all algae that grows out in the water, when it after it blooms and dies, it sinks to the bottom where it's decomposed by other bacteria and so on. And during that decomposition process, it uses up the oxygen that's in the water, and we can create zones of hypoxia or dead zones, as you mentioned.
How big a problem is cyanobacteria in Green Bay?
Well, I guess we really don't know at this point. So one of the efforts that New Water and other partners like Wisconsin DNR and UW-Milwaukee and UW-Madison and others are working on is to have a better understanding of the impacts and the severity of cyanobacteria and harmful algal blooms. We know that it exists and that at times there definitely is higher levels of toxins in the water that might impact, the safety for people.
You mentioned nutrients and excess nutrients being one of the causes of these cyanobacteria blooms. What kind of things are we as humans doing to add those nutrients into Green Bay?
Sure. So from our work that we've done in the watershed and others, we know that about 1.2 million pounds of phosphorus sort of runs out off the landscape and from our wastewater treatment plants into the river and the Fox River and ends up in Green Bay. And the sources of those nutrients, and particularly phosphorus, are both wastewater treatment plants as well as urban runoff. But the primary contributor in our area and for Green Bay is runoff of phosphorus from the landscape, primarily from our agricultural lands, partly because they're a major land user and impact on the landscape. So that phosphorus could be coming from fertilizers, but also from manure as well.
Talking to Kevin Firmanick, professor of geoscience and environmental science at UW-Green Bay, talking about a cooperative program between NASA and Green Bay's water utility to try to monitor dangerous cyanobacteria in Green Bay. This is just one of, as I understand it, three projects, Kevin, around the country like this kind of local partnership with NASA. What is it? You were starting to touch on this earlier. What is it that made Green Bay a logical place to do this?
Right. So Green Bay, like other areas, particularly around the Great Lakes, the embayments like Western Lake Erie and Saginaw Bay, does suffer from harmful algal blooms. And there's a lot of active research to better understand that. And one of the key factors why NASA partnered with New Water is that they, again, have over 30 years of aquatic monitoring data that they've been working on, and they regularly go out onto the Fox River and into the bay and measure the nutrient levels and other parameters like the amount of algae that's out in the bay at various locations throughout the bay. So because New Water has this established program, they really were an ideal partner to work with NASA to get this ground truth data that's so valuable to understand the satellite data.
And that ground truth you're talking about, so this will allow NASA to say, okay, here's the satellite images we have. Now let's see what the surface monitors are telling us and make sure what we've got everything calibrated properly and we know how to understand what we're reading from orbit.
Yes, that's exactly right. And of course, the value of having the ground truth data is that, again, it allows them to have a lot more confidence in what they're seeing, both at the locations where the ground truth data is, but also when they start to estimate or predict or model what the water quality is in other areas where there is no monitoring happening by someone out on the water or on the ground.
One piece of information I'm curious about, this won't just tell us about how much cyanobacteria, so-called blue-green algae, is out in Green Bay. Will it also let us pinpoint when we see blooms and then try to correlate that with what we're doing up on the land?
Yes, for sure. Now, we are limited to the amount of when the times that the satellite are traveling over, you know, Green Bay. So it might be once a day, depending on a particular satellite, or every 7 or 8 days. So we are limited by that type of satellite data. And then, of course, you also have to take into account clouds that might obscure, you know, the satellite's view of the bay. But beyond that, the ability of the satellites to do this on a regular basis and also to begin to put together the information, let's say, from the previous measurement, whether it's a previous day or the previous week, add in some other information like weather and runoff, we can create ways to predict what the likelihood of a harmful algal bloom might be.
Will this ultimately help us in efforts to control the flow of nutrients into Green Bay? Will this help us point toward when we should be taking special action to, I don't know what, control runoff at some at some point in the process?
Sure. Yeah, I think so, because a number of things. One, it's going to build awareness. So if we have a better understanding both within the scientific community as well as the general public of when these algal blooms are happening, what you know, the severity of the algal blooms, maybe a way to actually visualize what it means rather than giving them a concentration of algae out in the water, you can actually sort of see this phenomena happening. I think it'll help maybe spur some of our actions to better control the sources of the nutrients on the landscape. And then again, as you mentioned, I think the timing, having a better understanding of the timing of these events, algal blooms, will help us to better think about when do we need to have particular controls in effect, or how extensive do we need to have the controls across the landscape.
And on a related note, on Tuesday and Wednesday this week, I understand the International Joint Commission, a group that focuses on the Great Lakes and boundary waters, will be holding public meetings in Milwaukee. Do you know what's going to be focused on there?
Yeah, so the International Joint Commission is, you know, an organization that's really a binational treaty organization, or an organization responsible for helping us enforce our binational treaties between Canada and the United States. And they're really interested in all aspects of the Great Lakes, in particular the Great Lakes Water Quality Agreement and how we implement that. That is an agreement that looks at setting standards and water quality information to help us manage the lakes for, you know, long-term sustainability and for multiple uses and so on. So it's my understanding the IJC is meeting in Milwaukee to take in information from the public about what they want to see in the Great Lakes and what they want the parties, the United States and Canada, to be working on to protect the Great Lakes.
We'll leave it there. Kevin, thanks a lot for joining us today.
All right. Thank you.
Kevin Firmenich is a professor of geoscience and environmental science at UW-Green Bay. He was with us to talk about the city partnering with NASA to monitor cyanobacteria, or blue-green algae, in the waters of Green Bay. You can find out more about those public meetings on Great Lakes issues happening in Milwaukee at ijc.org.